Hello, friends. Just wanted to share some thoughts with you in relation to current events. John here with End of Effort. Thank you so much for listening in. I really, really appreciate all of your feedback. The questions, the encouragement, and even the people that don't agree, and that's okay as long as we're not nasty about it, right? I think it's important that maybe if we don't disagree on something, just understand that you have your own level of understanding, and so do I. We have our own growth issues at hand, and so everybody, every single person has a maturity about them that is unique to themselves. And so always, always try to keep that in mind, because that'll help you. If you don't quite understand something, you'll come about it in a different angle with more grace attached instead of an attack mode. And people that don't understand that, they just want to attack everything because they say, well, the truth is. Well, the truth is you have a perception or a level or a maturity surrounding that truth. You know, it's kind of like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus and he's just like, look, can you please help me with this born again thing? Because I'm not quite understanding. And, you know, when we approach questions, a questioning in us with a question, it's much, much more enjoyable in what you're going to receive back rather than everybody being offended. And that is really heightened right now in society, isn't it? Everybody's walking around, not everybody, but a lot of people are walking around offended. Well, I'm offended because they're letting people pour over the border. I'm offended that people would be offended by that. Or I'm offended by everything the administration's doing. And then you have the other side that says, well, I'm offended that you think he's a bad guy. Okay, whatever your thought is, whatever your belief system draws you to, just remember, please try to keep in mind that you have a belief based upon your understanding in the moment, a paradigm. You know, there's a lot of ways to phrase it, but it's a paradigm that you are in and I am in that looks different. And we should celebrate the fact that we do have differing views on things, as long as we're not stubborn in that and saying, I'm not going to change. This is the red in the Bible. This is the red letter version, and it's the King James version, and nobody should dispute that. This is the absolute truth, you know, that kind of thing. And you may think that, and you may believe that, but God is about ready to blow your grid again in what you believe, meaning that there were levels of understanding through the translators that translated the King James Version and every other version. So just remember, frail humanity has certain truths, even when prompted by Holy Spirit, to dispense those on paper, but they have a filter to go through. That filter is their conditioning by man. So depending upon the translators of the Bible, their upbringing, their belief system, their conditioning, their denomination, their paradigms at the time, even though Holy Spirit breathes upon a truth, it has to be filtered through the frailty of that conditioning of man. Really think about that, friends, because that is the truth. Since when, think about your own life. When you really vehemently stood upon a truth and you stood upon that sucker until you made everybody around you miserable, and then come to find out a year later or 5 years later, you were off in your perception in that. Now, some things I believe are more structured towards an absolute, like Jesus coming and dying for humanity, but man killed him, of course, because they didn't know what to do with unconditional love. We know the story. But, you know, Jesus, there is a man named Jesus that came in human skin. I mean, that's an absolute. You know, there's an absolute that he shed blood There's an absolute that he rose again. You know, things like that are absolutes. They're truth. That is a fact. However, when you and I are getting to know this amazing, endless, eternal, unsearchable, vast, big, huge, enormous God, there are many, many dimensions, many facets, many layers to the truth surrounding the truth, surrounding Him, surrounding what it means to live an eternal existence here and now in the flesh, because we are eternal beings. You know, there's a lot surrounding it, and so we would be wise to remain open and flexible and pliable when it comes to truth. And that's not compromising, friends. What that is saying, I'm open to be teachable. I'm open to remain flexible in my growth. The minute we stiffen our neck, we can be broken beyond a remedy that God may want a remedy. You know what I mean? We can do it to ourselves. It's not that God's sitting there saying, I'm going to break you because you're stiffening your neck. No, that's not unconditional love's response or reaction. We do it to ourselves. And when we stiffen our neck, we break our necks. You know what I mean? And so it's so important. It's so important for us to have a conversation on both sides of the political party, political equation, religious equation, life's equation. You know, it's important to remain open so that we can converse rather than argue and fight. And there's way too much of that going on right now, especially in, quote, the church circles. And we want to slice off and go start another denomination because we get angry about a truth that we thought was 100% absolute. And so we went off and we started our own thing in another divisive act, not realizing that it is, in fact, causing a greater divide. There's no greater truth than that when we see it currently happening with the vaccine, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. Okay? I mean, now it's the pandemic of the unvaccinated. No, it's not. You know, I'm going to say this very direct, that this is not a pandemic of a group. This is a virus of humanity that looks like another version of the flu, only worse. Okay? Why is it worse? Well, if you do your research and you think about the immune system and you look at the diet of humanity today, especially in the Western world, we wonder why we have destroyed our immune systems. And each year, each moment, each month, each day, each second goes by, we weaken our immune systems that much more. And so is it it's a coronavirus, it's another version of it. It's been around for 60 plus years. So this is another version or variant of it. And could it be, I'm just going to present this to you, having worked in the healthcare field for many years, could it be, just going to present this, that the immune systems have weakened so much over the years because of our sad diet, and the genes, the genealogical aspect of this, handed down from generation to generation, getting worse. Could it be that we have weakened it to the point to where this variant seems worse? Think about this. You know, whenever you eat dairy and mucus-forming foods, processed foods, it's going to weaken the lung structure. It's a proven fact. And then you compile bronchitis and asthma and everything else that's fear-based upon that. And then the fear that is racking and raking humanity because of all of this in the news media, well, we wonder why people are on ventilators. And so could it be have to do with more of that, not just with that where it's getting worse, these variants are getting worse, or is it that we are because of our choices? So I wanted you to just chew on that for a little while. Is God made us so magnificent and our immune system so strong that I believe they can combat anything that's thrown at them if they are in optimal condition? Meaning that if you are eating fruits and veggies mainly Even those have been depleted over the years because of the soil losing its nutrients. But however, it's way better than a sad diet, you know, the typical fatty foods and mucus-forming dairy and all that, the meats that are pumped full of garbage. Okay, and then we wonder why things are getting worse with people. So that's a side point, but let's just chew on that for a little bit and do your research and really go away from the mainstream media, dive into people that really, really care about the immune system and know what they're talking about. And we're not talking about conventional medicine here. We're looking at more of a naturopathic type of situation, because conventional doctors literally only have 1 week of nutritional training. If that, it's more about the pharmaceutical world and how to patch up injuries. Okay. So if we look at the lymphatic system and we start detoxing that, the sewer system of our bodies, and we start detoxing that, our immune system is going to strengthen exponentially. So anyway, that's just a side point. What I really wanted to chat about along with these things, I think they're great because they're just coming in the moment, but also wanted to chew on this idea of defending our truth, defending what we believe to the point of division. And I think it's really important that we stop for a moment and start looking at the bigger picture of what may be happening in America. Now, America is where I live, and so I'm going to be talking mainly about that, but I can also speak to the outside world as well when it comes to humanity at large and the church at large. But front and center, right at home in America, obviously, through any news media that you see or outlet, or if you live on the border, or if you live in Washington, D.C., or you're directly involved with these areas, healthcare, the vaccine, if you're a doctor, nurse, all of these elements, you're gonna be directly involved with the politics of this side of thing, or the fear, or just the science that is really played a large part in people's decision making, whether that's good or bad. It's really interesting to kind of sit back and watch what has been and is collapsing, and then people's view in the midst of it. Whether you're a believer or a pre-believer, it doesn't matter. Everyone has this view that they've decided is going to be theirs. Now, whether that's based on scripture or science, or just their own belief system, their political patriotic beliefs or unpatriotic beliefs, depending on your flavor. It's a whole range of beliefs, right? It's a whole range of ideology. And some people are so dead set on what they believe that they've caused a plethora of enemies to surround them. And it all in the name of their truth, right? And then we go on this rampage to say that this is the truth. Look what's on the news. This is the truth. Look at my research. This is the truth. This is absolute because I am entrenched in politics, or I'm entrenched in healthcare, I'm entrenched as a border agent, or I'm entrenched in this party or that party, or I'm entrenched in the religious world to the point to where I know that I know that I know that this is absolute truth. And anytime we do that, I found that we're going to cause division on purpose. Instead of leaving ourselves open to debate, open to conversation, open to growth, and humbling ourselves to the point to where we can say, well, okay, you believe that. Well, why do you believe that? Can you tell me more? I'm genuinely interested. See, you don't get that a lot anymore, right? You, especially in certain circles in the church world, because after all, if we have a patriotic bent, which doesn't mean that's necessarily bad, right? If you love your country, but then you could be considered, quote, patriotic because you love your country. I love my country. But then there's this line, right? You you have this belief where I'm patriotic to the core. And if I'm patriotic to the core, then I'm not listening to anything outside of that that opposes my conservative patriotic views of how this country should be ran. And those may all be well and good, friends. It may be you may have some good ideas, some great ideas, but anytime, remember what we said earlier, anytime we stiffen our neck in that, then we've caused a closed door to happen and we are closed to a conversation. And I think really where we're at is that we need some maturity to rise up in the earth to say, wait. I may not agree with that. In fact, I think it's a very slippery slope and it's heading downhill fast. But we need to come to the table on this and talk as humanity. Come together and be able to discuss these issues that concern all viewpoints. Now, it doesn't mean that you're open to everything and will just let anything be decided. Because we all have paradigms. We all have levels of understanding, right? So, for example, I'll never be open to debating a child being trafficked and being abused. That's not up for debate. That is just flat out evil and wrong. Can we all agree on that? I sure hope so. Now, some people won't believe that because the traffickers would completely disagree with what I just said. Right? Well, those people are bent on darkness and doing evil. So we don't have any debate on that. It's just a non-negotiable. No, for me anyway, that's a non-negotiable. We just don't go there. It's like, no, God in me says no to that. God in me gets angry about that. God in me is grieved deeply about that because he wishes that none should perish, but that wishes that none should be harmed, especially the little ones, right? We know what scripture says about that, and we know what our heart says about that. It's like, no, don't mess with the children. Don't mess with anybody that is vulnerable. Don't mess with anybody, period, if it's abuse, right? So that something like that is non-negotiable. Another area would be drugs, like the fentanyl and the things that, the overdosing and the heroin and all those things that harm a body and that harm families deeply. Well, those should not be ingested and put in the body. None of it. I don't care if it's prescribed. It's like, okay, if it's prescribed, what's going on with your neurological system? What's going on with your health? Because there is a deeper way. There is a higher way of looking at it. And so, these are the things that are obvious, right? They're obvious. Now, you may be thinking, well, it's obvious, John, that you should be a Republican. It's obvious, John, that you should be an independent. Or it's obvious, John, you should be a Democrat. I mean, I've got friends on both sides of the coin and right in the middle. All right? And anytime we say something to that effect, well, John, you should be. You have to be. Well, if you don't see it that way, you're stupid. If you don't see it that way, you're an idiot. If you don't see it my way, there's the highway. If you don't see it this way, then you're deceived and you're full of witchcraft. You know, that kind of stuff. Anytime we stiffen our neck to put it in that way, then we are not open for growth. We're not open to listen to and have this conversation about what it looks like, all right? So there are things that I just wouldn't go there with. And I believe that I really have the heart of the Lord on that. like God doesn't want people abused, period. He's not that kind of God. He is unconditional love, period. And because he's always generously giving out that love because he can't help himself, he is love, then there is no abuse in the equation whatsoever. And another thing is, there is absolutely no room for people to call for death upon somebody else. I want you to really chew on that for a moment, please. Jesus came. If you are a Christ believer, and it doesn't matter what your maturity level is. If you're a Christ believer, he calls for life and that more abundantly. He paid a heavy price to bring us immortality, to give us life in the finished work. And so because that is a truth, the truth, there's an absolute in that, that means that he calls for life 24/7. So anytime we call for death upon a Democrat, death upon a Republican, death upon a former president or a current president, we don't have the heart of love. We don't have the heart of our Father. Why is that? Because you don't have the big boy or big girl pants that are big enough to sit in that seat to call for death. You and I don't. And if you think you do, well, I would suggest go back to the drawing board of intimacy in your prayer closet and sit before him and saturate for a couple of years. Because until you get the heart of the Father. Because religion, the conditioning of religion, may in fact, coupled with patriotism or coupled with a staunch conservatism, may in fact compel us to call for that upon somebody's life. Now, if that's, you know, it doesn't, hey, have I had thoughts about that? Of course, towards individuals, because I was so angry. I mean, we're all human. But I wouldn't think of following through with something like that because of the heart of the Father in me. And I'm sure you could say the same, right? It doesn't mean you don't have those thoughts or you haven't been angry to that point at some point in your life. But would we follow through with that? Well, if you're really thinking about that, I would suggest you stop and rethink, because you really don't have the heart of the Father if you're going to enter into that or engage in that spirit. I can say that emphatically. That's not open for debate, right? And well, John, what about this evil? I mean, people are being taken out right and left. We got to do something to stop it. Again, is that your pay grade? Is that your job to take somebody out or cause their heart to stop beating? I wouldn't touch that with a 1,000,000-foot pole. Why? Because I'm not the giver or taker of life, and neither are you. I don't know how to say it any plainer. And in this atmosphere, this climate, this political climate, this COVID climate, this angst and anxiety and off-the-charts fear, we need someone to speak directly and lovingly into this that says, hey, wait a minute, hold on, guys. We are entering into the wrong spirit of things. You know, there's nothing more clear when I've seen it moving through the election cycle of Trump and Biden. Never seen it more polarized. Never seen it more clear in my entire life, is to see something to that effect. And I tell you, it's a challenge, because if you sit there and watch Fox News all day long or CNN all day long, you are going to have a bias. There's no question. If you're a staunch, I'm talking about staunch CNN watcher or staunch Fox watcher, because you are going to have a skewed view of a partial truth. Well, John, no way. Fox News is absolute truth. I've been watching it for decades. Who do you think you are? All of them are 100% truthful. All of them have truth just exuding out of their pores. Well, John, I've been watching CNN, and you conservatives are so full of hate. I just can't believe you would think that open borders is not righteous and holy. Or on the flip side, you CNN libtards. I can't believe that you would think that it's okay for anybody to cross that border, even if they've been horrifically abused by the government, horrifically abused by Central American authorities or Haitian ways of life. I can't believe you would think that somebody would want to better their life and run across that border. I mean, I would never do that if I'd been ravaged and raked over the coals and eating poverty at every turn and been horrifically abused. I would never think of breaking the law to cross the border. You know what I'm saying? Hello. Let's say all that for just half a second. You know what I mean? Like, we have these staunch views, and I'm not saying to break the law. I'm not saying to just let anything happen. You know, guys, friends, what we're discussing here is having such defense of a truth that causes this split and divide within us and around us. Because last time I checked, Jesus in me wanted me to grow and wanted me to embrace and open myself up to what he has to teach me by way of discernment, by way of growth, by way of levels of understanding changing and shifting and maturing in me. And I know that you want that too. So because you do, it's been a real challenge, hasn't it? If you're watching Fox News, if you're watching CNN, if you're getting your truth, you know, from different parties and, you know, all of that. If you're, you know, listening to these things, then it's super important to stop for a moment, a long moment, and say, God, what about this? What about this? Something just doesn't feel right inside. I mean, my spirit is agitated or I'm grieving. It's super important to listen to those things, friends, if you want to have and cultivate a deep relationship with Christ in you. It's super important because then you may see it a little differently coming away from Fox News or coming away from CNN or MSNBC or whatever your news organization is or whatever your Christian persuasion is. Hey, because there's bias everywhere. Because there's bias everywhere, it is super important that we have discernment through relationship. And we're not talking about anything remotely having to do with religion. That is nothing to do with your intimacy with this non-religious Christ in you. Nothing to do with it. This is what God is filtering out of us. It's what he is extracting. It is what we are growing out of, is the conditioning that we've all had our entire lives, no matter if it's from a parent or a Sunday school teacher, a bishop, priest, pastor, apostle, prophet, or president, you know, a mayor or a governor or whatever you're involved with, whoever your influences are, you know, TED Talks even. You've got to discern through every avenue in order to see more clearly than you ever have before. And because we are living in such volatile times, such questionable times, such, you know, technology is happening at warp speed and the whole bit, friends. You know, the economy going sideways, and depending on how you look at that, you'll either think it's going sideways or you like paying $5 a gallon in gas. You know, personally, it doesn't matter if I had $1 billion. If inflation, yeah, I could pay for it. But what I always look at is not myself. I look at everyone in humanity that may be affected by inflation, may be infected by, rising fuel prices and all the rest. So, yeah, I mean, because your family, you're going to have somebody in your family, your relatives or a friend that may not have $1 billion if you do, and they may not, right? So you can't help but look around outside of you and care about society, care about this country, care about your city, your town, your family, your relatives, your friends. And so it affects everyone. You know, it may not affect the billionaire like it does the middle class person. But again, where's your heart at if you're a billionaire? You know? So defending a truth, should we or shouldn't we? That's the question. Should we defend it to the point of separation? Should we defend it to the point of division and divisiveness? Well, I believe that there's a better way. There's a higher way. So meaning that, let's just say you have a call to government. Well, you can look at this through party lines and get elected through party lines. Or you can look at being as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove and allow Christ in you to navigate your running for office or your being involved in Congress or the mayor's office or the governor's office or whatever it may be that you're called in governmental arenas. Allow Christ in you to navigate to such a way to where it would be well-being would be the lead and the guide. Well-being for all of humanity. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with things that you don't agree with. Again, you're growing in your levels of understanding, right? But it means to be open enough to hear the conversation across the aisle and then take a truth or the truths inside of that conversation and say, where do we have common ground that does not compromise the non-negotiables, meaning the abuse factor? Okay, is this a legislation that's going to cause harm or abuse to a certain individual? Are they going to experience more trials and more trauma because of this? Well, if they are, then we need to have a serious conversation. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, or staunch anything. There's this common denominator within humanity called heart. And if we don't start allowing heart-centered solutions to rise in us to the point that would benefit all, then we're not open to that conversation that would benefit all. I call it the well-being economy, the well-being societal shift or transformation or whatever you want to call it. I just know that those two words are in there, well-being. Well-being means that all is well with my soul and I am thriving in all areas of my life and I'm not being abused or traumatized by another human being. I live in peace and safety. I think everybody can agree that they want to live in peace and safety, except for those that are filled and fueled by demonic forces, right? By the dark side of the entities that reach in and grab the soul of one that opens up to them, right? I think we could all agree. And even at that, those people, most of them have been traumatized by a parent or a situation in their life that causes them to go dark. And so what are we really thinking and believing about an individual? Is anyone worth saving? Is anyone worth being transformed by the love of God? I believe that every single person on the planet is worthy of that. Now, they have a decision to make whether they want to enter into that well-being or not, right? We have a choice, a powerful, powerful thing called decision and choice. And if somebody chooses to be an abuser and stiffens their neck, then they're going to pay a price. It's inevitable. They're going to bring it upon themselves. It's called the law of attraction, a real genuine law of attraction, right? And that will come upon them. Whatever they sow in evil, they're going to reap it at some point somehow. If they keep stiffening their neck, we see it over and over again in society, right? And that's not God's heart. He doesn't want to see that for anyone, even the worst person on the planet that's engaged in this darkness, you know, the Al-Qaeda or whoever you can think of that's just horrific in their actions towards others, he wishes that none should perish. I mean, he's turned the most hardened hearts around. So if we don't carry that kind of heart in us, then it's time to sit and soak and saturate until we do. Seriously, it's we're living in this moment in time when people really need to see Christ in us, not judgment, not hellfiery, brimstone-ish patriotism that doesn't want to open itself up or listen to anyone. Or a liberal mindset that is so liberal that they think everybody that's slightly conservative is a spawn of hell. And they have it all backwards, all twisted, both sides of the coin, right? I mean, extremes are all twisted up. And so when we're open to a conversation, this is where the love of God can permeate and begin to open hearts to transform them. If we don't, again, my friends, we're going to keep living in this divisive world. You know? And if you're sitting there thinking right now that, oh, John's, oh man, I don't know. He's scarily talking about globalism. He's talking about one world peace. He's talking about these weird new agey things here. Oh man, I got to stop listening to this guy. I'm going back to my Pentecostal roots and I want hellfire and judgment. I want to listen to some hellfiery judgment. That guy is just too wussy-ish. You know what I mean? If you're thinking that, you're dead wrong. I'm just going to say it. You're dead wrong. First of all, because that's your paradigm and that's your level of understanding of who you think I am. Right? And you're dead wrong because you're not open to conversation. That's how I can say it. That's the only way you can say it is you know, I don't like the right versus wrong thing, because you're pigeonholing somebody in the reward versus punishment type of gospel or scenario. And anytime we pigeonhole ourselves in one or the other, then again, we're closed off to conversation. So one world peace. Let's just touch on that for a minute. Do you remember this king named Solomon? Of course you do if you've read the Bible or you've been around church any length of time. Well, he had this wonderful thing called peace on every side. You know, the scripture is very clear that he had peace on every side of him, surrounding him from all of his enemies, his perceived enemies. So at the time, he had one world peace, because it was one world underneath that kingship, the known world at the time. You know, you had Egypt, you had the Pharisaical mindset, but underneath the God people, the God rule, if you will, or, you know, kingdom society, there was peace on all sides. And so let me ask you, what do you perceive to be true about a one world government? What is your perception of that? Because I can tell you this, or one world peace, I can tell you this, that you'll never have peace when you have people that are staunch in their view and not open to conversation. You'll never have a true, genuine peace. So it's a peace as the world gives, not as he gives. Because when he gives something, when Christ gives something, when Christ gives something, then, sorry, I'm just feeling this grieving. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to take a second here. Wow, you can really feel the heart of the Lord on this, because I'm telling you, peace as I give, not as the world gives. See, when the world tries to have this peace, it's a counterfeit. It's surface, right? You call for peace, one world government. Well, one world government is control. It's dictatorial. And it looks like a communistic rule that says that everybody has to be under this, my dictates and my rule. And government was never supposed to be in charge. It was supposed to serve us as a society and take care of infrastructure and, you know, the boundaries of safety and all of those things. I don't have time to get into that. But whenever you have a one person or a cabinet or a parliament or a presidency that wants to rule the world or dominate a society, then you're looking at something that is anti-heart of God. It's anti-Christ. And so when we're talking about the peace that surpasses all understanding that's surrounding Solomon, that is what exudes from heaven into earth, heaven on earth. And so when you have peace around you as a governmental entity, that means that you are engaged in wanting well-being for all. That's what Jesus wants for all, and that's what makes people look on and say, wow, you serve an awesome, generous God. Because well-being for all says that I want the best for you. If I was a governor or a mayor or president, I would be saying, listen, you may have your own viewpoints, you may have your own lifestyle, you may have your own choices, but I still want the best for you, because you're made in the image of God. Every single person, no matter what they're engaged in, are made in the image of love, the image of God. They just don't know that yet, some of them. But it's still the heart of God, the heart of the Father, to rain down his goodness on the just and the unjust. It's still his heart to rain goodness on all. That's what draws people to change and to transform. It's the goodness of God that leads people to transform and change. So when you're a leader and you have goodness exuding out from your heart and heart-centered solutions for all, then you've got society's attention. You've got heaven's attention. And again, my friends, I would ask you, is that compromise, or is that goodness wanting the best for all. Okay? And again, it doesn't mean you agree with certain lifestyles if you believe in a certain way, or doesn't mean you agree with certain border issues or political issues or economy issues or religious issues. All of those things are being worked in and out of us all the time so that we can see more like him all the time, right? And so my views have changed over the years. I can certainly say that on certain areas. I'm not going to get into those personal views right now, but I think you can hear my heart when I say that I want well-being for humanity. It's because that's what he wants in me. That's what Christ in you wants for your family, for those around you, to love your enemies. To love your enemies does not mean you agree with your enemies. I'm going to say that again. To love your enemy, your perceived enemy, does not mean you agree with your enemy on certain levels or any level. It means that God loves everyone. And it's the goodness in you that reaches out to show and unveil goodness through the fruit of the Spirit that causes hearts to turn, not a fear factor. Well, you better change or you're going to burn in hell, pal. I command the demons to let go of your mind so that you can see exactly the way I see. So that you can be a staunch Republican. So that you can be a conservative that's off the rails and just has to have everything his way or her way. So you better see it my way, because that's God's way. Now, we may not see it, say it quite like that, although some do. But are you thinking that way? Are you feeling that way? Is your heart or your soul bent that way? If it is, then there's more growing to do, right? Because I used to be that way. And I can tell you I've grown to where I want conversation. Because conversation opens up healing for the individual that you're listening to. And healing for you. Open conversation, where we call it in the sales world, discovery. Sales discovery. When you're discovering a person's life and their story, so you're asking open-ended questions to discover who they really are. See, if we had more of that going on, then we may have more well-being in our world. And that is coming, my friends. That is coming. That's the good news. The good news is it's coming fast. Because all of this collapsing of all these institutions that are in fact collapsing are collapsing for a reason, so that people can come to the point or the end of themselves and say, wait a minute, hold on, what is this all about? I want well-being for myself and everyone else. Put away agenda, put away political persuasion, put away religious staunchness, put away all of this bias. And what is it at the end of the day? What is it? You want well-being. You want people to thrive. You want people, in yourself included, in your family, you want them to come alive with in every area, right? At least we should. So because we want those things, I believe that there's a collective whole saying, okay, we're watching and we're waiting. We're anchoring the light where we're at. We're anchoring the light on the hill, and we're watching things collapse, and we're ready to go to bring and to share what we have. Share wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Share love. Share our material goods. Share insight, foresight. Share without the conditioning attached to it, because we've been purged and grown to the point where we just want nothing but pure light to flood through us to help people in their greatest hour, in their greatest hour of need and trial. And so it's called the love of God emanating through us without condition. And so there's many of us across the face of the globe waiting and watching, watching and waiting. And we're not waiting to do something creative. We're not waiting to help people, because we've been doing that all along. No, we're waiting to see what in fact collapses so that we can be the arms and the hands and the love extended to people. That's the well-being economy. That's the well-being society that Jesus smiles on. And when that starts to happen, friends, watch how this planet gets transformed. I mean, it already happened. Is that happening underground, so to speak? But we're going to see this when economies collapse, when religious institutions collapse, when every sphere begins to collapse. I would suggest don't be found trying to prop something up that is in fact collapsing. When we do, then we're only going to serve ourselves in the way of conditioning that's going to lead to more heartache and pain. So I would suggest be very discerning and be very careful of what you try to prop up and keep propped up. Because anytime we try to do that, we're going to lose in the end. This is where discernment comes in. Is God really propping up and smiling upon and giving power to institutions that hurt people? No, I don't believe so. Is he allowing it for us to see the greater good that we need to shine upon these areas? Of course. But he's also at the same time purging us of a religious conditioning that says that I have to go and make everybody look like my political or religious persuasion. And that's a huge thing right now, friends. The political spirit has gotten a hold of some of these prominent speakers to the point, these leaders in the Christian world, that has derailed their faith. And you can see it very plainly if you have a shred of discernment and you've been purged of some conditioning yourself. It is very plain and open sight. And you're going, whoa. Does this person even realize how entrenched they are in a political spirit or a religious spirit? Do they even know how much fear has gripped their heart and their life? Anytime we call for war, when God's saying, I want more of the happy, joyful gospel, I want more of the peace and the fruit of the Spirit emanating out of your life, and we're trying to prop up a warship, and we need to go to more war, what is that about? Friends, listen to my other teaching about the party ship, please, because it tells you the difference between a party ship and a warship, meaning prayer and intercession involved around our posturing of how we should look at things. Big difference. You know, I used to be the guy that was always on the warship, worrying about everything, war, because of what I saw with my senses. What I saw with my own eyes and felt with my senses, I thought, oh man, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. I need a war to prop this sucker up. I need to prop these institutions up. I need to call for peace and safety for me. That's what I was really saying. I want to feel safe and secure, so I have to prop these bad boys up so that nothing difficult or challenging comes around my life. I've got to prop it up so that I can just stay in my own little conditioned world. Again, that's different. That is different. That's called survival, my friends. That is far different than living in the bliss and the joy of your identity and who you are in Christ and living in the fruit of the Spirit, living in a peace and a joy and a rest that is Jesus in you. Right? That's far different, because survival is based in fear. And anytime I am in fear, then I'm going to go to war over things that I maybe shouldn't be warring over. Okay, is there a time for intercession? If it's spirit led, and you're interceding by the strength and the power of the one in you that is free from bias, that is free from survival mentalities, is free from fear. Imagine if you interceded with a complete freedom from religious conditioning or political conditioning, and free from fear. Could you imagine what that would look like? Well, we would literally be standing in heaven praying, heaven to earth, heaven come on earth as it is in heaven. And that looks far different than standing on a warship, warring for a political party to die or to cease, warring for a God to take somebody out that you don't like, that's causing harm, warring for, your own persuasion, put it that way, your own safety. Excuse me. So, again, if you want more on that, please listen to the jumping ship to the party ship message. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up there. There's a lot more to say, but maybe we'll pick it up on another session. I hope that helped. And I just pray that you chew on these things and bring them before the Lord. And let Him illuminate to you what He wants you to see. Okay, thank you, friends.